Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1997. The topic is Q&A, and the title is The Effects of Switching to a High-Fat Diet. I had a listener send in a post on Instagram. It was from Sean Baker, who is the creator of the carnivore diet. The post had an interesting kind of situation with a multiple choice guess of what you think would happen due to the changes the situation suggested. The listener then sent me what they thought their response was and asked if I would share my thoughts. So let's go through it. Sean Baker wrote on an Instagram post, "If you normally consume 2,500 calories per day and are weight stable, and now for 1 week you consume 100% of your calories from fat, i.e. butter, what would happen?" So this is what we're going to look through. Is somebody is eating 2,500 calories a day, their weight is totally stable. So for 1 week, so again, just 1 week, you have to keep that in mind, just 1 week, they're going to consume 100% of their 2,500 calories only from fat. This means not, this is kind of like where the wording in the question is a little bit ambiguous. I don't even know if that's the word. Ambiguous. Ah, there we go. That would be nice if I could actually talk. would it certainly add some more credibility to what I'm about to say for the next 30 minutes if I can actually remember a single word, a simple word. So if you normally consume 2,500 calories a day and are weight stable, and now for 1 week you consume 100% of your 2,500 calories from fat, what would happen? There's a lot of assumptions here. We're going to go with the assumption that the 2,500 calories per day before this special week was a mixed diet. And let's say it was the typical, you know, roughly 50% from carbohydrates, 30% from fat, 20% from protein. Say, you know, something like that. The typical recommendation, like the MyPlate and the FDA recommendations and whatnot. So that would be our assumption with that. And then the assumption is now when he says consume 100% of your 2,500 calories from fat, we're going to assume 100% of the calories are fat-based calories, not that it's a mixture of fat and protein. Now, that's impossible to do, but that is what the question is presenting itself as, because it doesn't give a percentage or a consideration of what the protein content would be if you were trying to get mostly fats. So, for example, you can actually technically eat, you know, like pure fat sources and literally get the 2,500 calories from fats with maybe trace elements of protein involved. But we're going to go with the idea that, in theory, all 2,500 calories are fats, and the theory that before this special week, it was a mixed nutrient diet with roughly about 50% coming from carbohydrates. With that out of the way, because that's all extremely important. It changes the answer if you don't have certain assumptions. The answers he gives us, what do you think will happen? A, option A is you will remain at the same weight. And the theory of that is you're consuming the same calories, therefore you're going to weigh the same, whether it's coming from fats or carbs or proteins or a mixture or a percentage of any of that. So that's option A, you'll remain the same weight. Option B, you will gain weight and body fat due to the loss of protein's thermic effect. I'm going to explain that in a second. But thermic effect of food is how many calories our body has to burn to break down that food to get calories from it. So we have to do work. We have to expend energy to break down food to then get energy out of the food. Now, we get way more energy from the food than what we put into breaking it down, but it's still a consideration. And protein has a higher thermic effect, meaning it requires more calories to break it down and utilize it than fats do. So the statement in option B is saying that you would gain weight because you're not burning as many calories by not consuming as much protein. Option C, you will lose weight due to dramatically lowered insulin. And then option D, you will lose weight due to profound diarrhea and failure to absorb the food. So those are the options. We're going to go through this a little bit because I think it would be helpful if somebody is considering a high-fat diet with the goal of better overall health and or fat loss. This is important. This is interesting to know. This would hopefully be a factor of the decision of whether or not you do make that change to a high-fat diet. Now, the listener had their answer, and they guessed that the answer would be B, is you would gain weight and body fat due to the loss of protein's thermic effect. However, they were kind of thinking more along the lines that it would actually cause you to lose weight, not gain weight. So they were thinking that it depends on the thermic effect of your normal food. Their guess is you would lose weight due to losing muscle tissue because you weren't consuming protein during that week. So that was their guess. So their guess was kind of a mixture and hodgepodge of the options. So their person after my own heart is they had options A, B, C, D, and they choose E. So that's usually how I do things. But I wanted to go through this. So Sean Baker is the person who made the post. He's the creator of the post. He's also the creator of the carnivore diet. And this is extremely helpful to know because the carnivore diet focuses on red meat, poultry, fish, and eggs. It includes things like heavy creams and cheeses. But the diet excludes all produce as well as grains, legumes, nuts, and seeds. So the carnivore diet, you can think of it as a meat carnivore. You know, you're just going to eat meat. You're not going to, not an herbivore, not an omnivore, carnivore. So meat and animal-based products. We're getting rid of plants and nature things. So it's helpful to know this because the post would have been made with either a conscious bias or a unconscious bias towards his diet strategy, towards his diet approach of the carnivore diet. So he's going to kind of, and what I think he did was hedge his multiple choice answers in his favor. When making this nutrition change, when changing from a mixed diet to an all-fat diet, and again, this is, we're going from mixed to 100% fats, you will lose weight. You will. And it's going to be reason, like the reason for it is actually going to be related to glycogen storage emptying and water retention loss. You will weigh less because you're going to store less water in your body. That isn't any of the options, so I also went with option E and made my own. But I have had clients do this. I've seen people do this a lot of times. I don't know the exact number. I've worked with well over 3,000 people. I've helped people on every diet structure you can think of. I have actually tried every diet you can think of. I've tried the carnivore diet. So I do know, in theory, what would happen when you switch to a predominant fat and protein diet. I have never had anyone switch to 100% fat. That I've never had that happen. However, I have had people switch to from a mixed diet to a carnivore diet where they ate only fats and proteins with their best attempt to have no carbohydrates whatsoever. So I've seen clients do it. I've played around with it myself. I know firsthand exactly kind of what happens in all of those situations. And the person does lose weight initially, and it's due to water retention loss. That's why. So let's go through the options, and let's explain why some of the options wouldn't be true. Option A, again, I'm going to read through that one, is you would remain the same weight due to the theory of the same calories coming in as you normally have, therefore your body would use them and you would stay the same weight. You will not stay the same weight. So the reason why is due to the water retention loss. But it's also when, like, he's creating a diet and he wants when people switch to his diet for them to have a positive experience. So it makes people who switch from a mixed diet that included carbohydrates and was probably dominant in carbohydrates. That's how most people eat. When you switch to now no carbohydrates, all fats and proteins, you're going to lose weight. You're going to lose weight because of the water retention. Now, typically people will also lose a little bit of weight because they're going to have a caloric reduction and or an increase in caloric consistency. So most people will not make this change in this exact situation where if they've been consuming 2,500 calories, they've been staying the same weight, they're all of a sudden now going to switch over to 2,500 calories predominantly in fats. Most people are inconsistently eating. They're unhealthy. They want to lose fat. They want to get better blood markers. So they'll then switch to this type of diet, which allows them to have a better caloric consistency, which often coincides with a slight caloric reduction if they're doing it, you know, properly and tracking calories. So they're going to lose weight. It's the majority is going to be water weight. There's going to be some degree of fat loss for sure, but it's not going to be the true amount of weight change in the first 1 to 2 weeks is not indicative of pure fat loss, not in any way whatsoever, 100% not. What's going to happen is they'll lose the largest amount of weight within a few days. Then by the end of the first week, they're going to see a huge drop. They might lose like 8 pounds the first week. The second week, maybe they're now still kind of cleaning out the system. The body's going through some changes. They still have that caloric reduction. So maybe they'll lose 2 pounds. Then the third week, maybe 1 pound. The fourth week, maybe 1 pound, maybe nothing. So it tapers off immensely after the first week because the first week includes water weight loss. And then the remaining weeks do not. So the remaining weeks, if you're consistent with everything, are more indicative of true fat loss, whereas the first week includes fat loss, but also water retention loss. So that's why you'll see the largest weight loss in the transition. Now, it does depend on a little bit of the food choices and the way in which you structure your meals, but let's say that we're controlling that and we're doing it in quote-unquote the right way, then like you're not just eating, you know, 5 pounds of bacon a day. So you're eating it in a relatively healthy mix of healthy fats and proteins and healthy frequency that matches your, you know, schedule, your preferences, your digestive needs. Maybe you're also taking some digestive aids like Zypan from Standard Process is a great aid for digesting fats, high fat content meals. So there's a lot of ways in which we would set that up to have it go correctly and hopefully healthfully. But that's why number A is not correct, is you will not stay the same weight because you're going to have water weight loss due to the complete elimination of carbohydrates from your diet. There you go. Option B, you will gain weight and body fat due to the loss of protein's thermic effect. This is very unlikely, and I would actually lean to the answer of no. Protein does have a greater thermic effect of food compared to fats. However, in the totality of how many calories our body burns and kind of uses per day, thermic effect of food is contributable to about 5 to 10%, and 10% would be, you know, gracious. So 5 to 10% of the total calories we use in a day would be attributed to thermic effect of food, meaning how many calories we burned to get the calories from our food. So it's only 5 to 10%. And since you're switching from a mixed diet, meaning it's likely you're out of your total intake, only 20 to 30% of your total intake was actually protein, it now means that you're reducing 20 to 30% of a normal diet in a component that only contributes 5 to 10% of your total caloric usage. So, yes, there's a reduction in thermic effect of food by reducing the protein effect, but it's really only a 20 to 30% reduction of a 5 to 10% contribution. So it's really negligible, very, very, very small, and I would lean to the answer of you won't even notice that. So that would be my reasoning for not selecting B as the answer. C, that answer is you will lose weight due to dramatically lowered insulin. I'm going to come back to this one because I believe this is what he wanted everyone to think. I'm going to explain why I don't necessarily agree with it, but we'll move on to D real quick and kind of get rid of that one first and then come back to C. So the answer for D was you will lose weight due to profound diarrhea and failure to absorb the food. That's certainly possible, but if you overhaul your typical food choices, it is likely that you're going to run into some digestive stress. But there are ways to make that change, those types of changes, without causing much stress, and actually to the degree that you can actually mitigate the stress with proper supplementation, meal size, frequency, and specific food choices. So if your body was using 2,500 calories before and holding its weight, and now you consume 2,500 calories but with different foods, your body will utilize the food, like it'll use it and absorb it because that's representative of the amount that it needed. And there are ways to mitigate the digestive stress, like I said, with supplements such as Zypan. So if somebody doesn't know what they're doing and they just make an overhaul change and they don't know the right foods to change to, they don't know the frequency, they don't know supplements, hell yeah, they can absolutely get an upset stomach and this can mess them up. But there are ways to do it where it can be controlled. So it's not an automatic yes that you would get diarrhea and have poor absorption. It's a possibility for sure, but it's not an automatic yes. So let's go back and let's look at answer C. Answer C was you will lose weight due to dramatically lowered insulin. Dr. Baker, I believe, and I can't read his mind, and it's probably a good thing I can't read people's minds. when anybody read mine? But Dr. Baker, I believe, wants this to be the answer because it hits on a health buzzword, insulin. For people who are diabetic, for people who are insulin resistant, they're likely struggling to lose weight, and they're going to be then looking for ways to do that, and something that promises the improvement of insulin management, like insulin sensitivity, it's going to be enticing. So he knows that. So he's going to put that word in there. And then for people who are not insulin resistant and they're healthy, but they're looking for ways to improve health, they are going to hear that increasing insulin sensitivity is associated with longevity. And that's true. There are studies that say that those two are correlated. So insulin sensitivity is a big thing. When you're looking for health, when you're looking for longevity, when you're looking for fat loss, that's going to be something you're going to consider. So when you see an answer like that or a diet that talks about insulin, you're going to pay more attention. So I think that's why he wanted to mention that word, was he wanted to catch people's attention. And by framing it in the way he did, the way the option C was worded, he wants people to believe that making the change to an all-fat diet will improve their insulin sensitivity and help them store less body fat, which is associated with losing body fat. So then the question is, does eating a higher fat percentage in your diet, thus lowering the carbohydrate percentage, improve insulin sensitivity? So is he right that it would improve insulin? Yes, absolutely. Yes. Especially when going from an average diet to a significant reduction of carbohydrates to the point of them being eliminated. So when people are going from a not paying attention to much diet, which is going to be probably at least 50% carbohydrates for most people, to now a diet that eliminates all carbohydrates, they will see a change in insulin sensitivity. But does that cause weight loss? Not necessarily. If you had a caloric surplus when switching to fats, you would not see fat loss, even with a reduction of insulin. Your body would end up having more fats, calories coming in than what it needs. It'll still store that. It'll still have some gain of body fat and or weight. They're going to gain weight, and it's going to be associated with fat if you overconsume. So that's why he prompted in the question that you're going to be consuming the exact same amount. So why isn't the answer C? Is just because you increase insulin sensitivity, it doesn't mean that you will automatically lose weight. You're not going to lose body fat just because you're more insulin sensitive. And again, it goes back to, if we're only doing this for a week, it's not enough time for that to really be overly significant and the calories are equated. They're really the main drive of weight change in the first week of making that switch is going to be the loss of water retention. That's what's going to promote the fat loss, the weight loss. And then people are going to associate that with increased insulin sensitivity. They're going to think then that they're healthier and they're losing fat, but they're not if the calories, especially if the calories are equated, what they're losing is water retention. So it's interesting in the sense that one of the reasons why this is still not a yes, like why C isn't a yes, is you can have healthy insulin sensitivity and still eat carbohydrates. Yes. So to improve insulin sensitivity, which again helps reduce fat storage and can improve the process of fat loss, a person would be recommended to lessen sugars and foods that digest very quickly, which are simple carbohydrates, which could be variations of grains and carbohydrates and fruits, for example. So the foods that the carnivore diet is eliminating are associated with insulin, and if they're mismanaged, misappropriately consumed, they will have a negative impact on insulin. However, if you consume them in a proper way, you can still make an improvement in insulin sensitivity from whatever you've been doing by making a proper healthy change in habits that can actually still include carbohydrates. So you don't have to completely eliminate carbohydrates in order to increase insulin sensitivity. Does it help? Hell yeah. But is it necessary? No. So this all or nothing type thinking where the only way to like improve insulin sensitivity is to get rid of all carbs, that's not an appropriate like mindset. That it's not necessary. Is it helpful? Sure, absolutely. Is it necessary? No. But that would be my thoughts as to why the answer isn't C. Is the weight loss that a person would see from switching from a mixed diet to an all-fat diet would be associated with water retention loss, not due to a reduction in insulin, which causes a reduction in nutrients being stored as fat. Because again, you're consuming the same amount of calories. So in theory, you're intaking, and this is actually kind of, there's so many nuances to this kind of stuff. That's why I get a little bit bummed sometimes making these podcasts, because people will cherry pick one little component and argue the hell out of that without any context of larger components. So one thing, for example, is 2,500 calories and 2,500 calories look the same, but they're not, because protein isn't like if in the mixed diet the person was consuming roughly, let's say, a minimum 20% of their calories from protein, then really 80% of the calories coming in were being utilized as energy. The carbs and fats. When you switch to a 2,500 calorie diet that's all fats, you now have no protein. So you actually increased your total caloric intake of energy-related nutrients, which would be nutrients that, if not burned, are stored as body fat. So that would actually contribute to gaining body fat, even if your insulin levels were improved and you have a reduction in like the shuttling and storage of excess nutrients. You now created an even increased excess. So although the insulin improved, you negated that by increasing the amount of calories within your normal diet that are contributable to body fat. So in a normal diet, if 20% are protein, then roughly that 20% isn't likely to get converted to body fat. So you're really only having to manage 80%. Now, if we switch the diet entirely to fats, 100% of it can be utilized towards body fat if you don't burn that off. So there's so many crazy, annoying nuances that what I love about it, what I find exciting about it, is when you understand how to prioritize things and what is going to have the biggest impact and why, and what has an impact before other things, it makes these kind of crazy situations more manageable. But what I don't like about it is somebody will pose a purely theoretical like situation, such as this question, and then argue the one nuance that they want while excluding and not paying attention to the other nuances. So it becomes an exercise in just, if a person believes XYZ, they're creating a situation where they can argue XYZ away from and separated from ABC, because ABC can't even really be applied to this situation because it's entirely theoretical anyhow, if that makes sense. So the weight change that you would see from switching from a mixed diet to an all-fat diet for a week, will you lose weight? Yes. You're going to lose weight due to reduction of water retention, not due to improved insulin levels. That's the answer. And again, I have absolutely done this with clients, not 100% fat content. I don't know if anybody would really say that they did that, because I'd be questionably in health, like whether you should actually do that or not. A healthy way to switch to a high fat diet is to include protein. So if somebody ever went to like pure 100% fats for a week, I would argue that that would be unhealthy to do. Don't do that. But in the theory of the question, yes, you would lose weight due to water retention. So are high fat diets healthy? They can be, yes. Just like high carbohydrate diets can be healthy. You can eat high carbohydrate percentage, still have great blood markers, feel good, great energy, and look amazing. Just like you can have high fat content diets and have all the same things. There are people who would argue to the death for each of those approaches, and given their life experiences, they will be 100% correct from their perspective. Research has shown that you can do high-fat, low-fat, high-carb, low-carb diets and still have fat loss and still have good energy levels, good health marker outcomes. So there's a lot of, as proof as you're going to get proof in today's day and age, that doing it either way is fine, or anywhere down the middle is fine. So can a carnivore diet, can an all-fat and protein diet be a good option for some people? Absolutely. There are some people that love this. They run with it. It's great for them. It helps control blood markers that are negative for them. Maybe it helps control carb-related cravings, energy crashes. Maybe they had bad food reactions due to carbohydrate-related foods. Maybe they had psoriasis, joint pain, like arthritic-type issues. There's tons of people who are like gluten-sensitive or celiac disease. And going to a carnivore diet is great, because then, of course, you're going to avoid all gluten. So there are a lot of people where this works well. But there are also people that it doesn't work. It doesn't fit their preferences, doesn't fit their schedule, doesn't fit their needs. I've had clients, I'll switch them over to a fat and protein-based diet, and they don't feel good. They have kind of lowered energy. They're just kind of blah. And yes, we've gone through the period where the brain has to switch from burning glucose to ketosis and blah, blah, blah. So I'm aware of all that. But for some people, it works. For some people, it doesn't. And for the people that it doesn't work with, don't worry. It's not the only option. It's not the only way to do things. For the people that it does work with, freaking awesome. Love it. Congratulations. Glad you found what works for you. As long as your blood markers are healthy, you're feeling good, keep it up. Do it. Do it. Love it. Enjoy it. If you are struggling with things such as carb-related cravings, energy crashes, maybe food reactions like psoriasis, joint pain, arthritic issues, then... And maybe PCOS, it will cause insulin sensitivity issues. And situations like that, somebody might be better from a elimination of carbohydrate type diet. So there are situations where, if somebody's struggling with those elements, switching to a carnivore diet could be very helpful for them. And it would definitely be something worth trying. And then just get your blood work done 2 to 3 months after starting the diet, so that you can check and see where you're at with your blood values. But it really depends. There are different diets for different people for different reasons. So trying each diet out and figuring out what works best for you is a good approach if it's guided and guided in an unbiased way. That's one of the ways I believe that I help my clients well. Is I'm unbiased, is I'll just help them find the diet structure that works best for them. I don't care what it is, what it's called, if it has a name or not. It's just, hey, here's how you eat. These are ways that we can make that a little bit healthier, make you feel better. And we just do that. And if it works, it works. We don't worry about what it's called. We don't worry about what's named. We just watch how they feel, how their body's progressing in aesthetics, how their blood work is progressing. We just want to make sure they're achieving their goals and staying healthy, whatever that diet looks like. Okay. So that would be my answer to that hypothetical question. Is it's not A, it's not B, it's not C, it is not D. It is answer E, which is you would lose weight but due to reduction of water retention. Then back to the question for the overall podcast is, are high fat diets better for overall health? That was the previous title that I was going to use. I switched the title to the effects of switching to a high fat diet. And part of the reason why was I wanted to talk about the effects and have that be more of the focus. When we look at the question, which I've been posed before, is are high-fat diets better for overall health? There's not necessarily a yes to that. There's not necessarily a no. It's all individualistic, and nobody likes that answer. But that is the answer. It depends on how you define better. If your better is, will you be stronger? If your better is, will you grow more muscle? If your better is, will you have lower cholesterol levels? If your better is, will you have lower glucose levels, like triglycerides and other blood markers? It's depends on how a person defines better. It depends on how they define health. Switching from a random way of eating to a more controlled and consistent way of eating absolutely will help. And then finding the foods that you prefer, that fits your budget, that fits your preparation abilities and time schedules and all that, like fits your digestion profile. All of that is more important is finding what personal to you works best. I believe I answered this and kind of talked through it in decent detail, but I understand I didn't leave you with a black and white yes or a black and white no, or a black and white answer of what exactly to do. And the reason why is because there's not often a black and white. It's not an all or nothing. There are multiple approaches that work. Just ask 10 people their belief on diets and you're going to get a wide variety of opinion, and all of them will like go to their grave believing they're right, even if they're contradictory to each other. Okay? So, hopefully that was helpful. If you have any follow-up questions, just shoot me an email. You can always message us on our website, actually. Go to www.brittleirongym.com. Go to the bottom of the homepage. On the bottom of the homepage is a contact form. You can always send me a question there. You can send me messages on Instagram, like this listener did. Just find us and follow us on Instagram under the name Brittle Iron Gym. And on YouTube, we do post videos now. I have a notification for comments, but if you have a question or something that's unrelated to the video, I'd rather you send me a message through the website than listening on the video. So that way I can keep it all in one area, and it makes sense to have the comment section of the videos staying with the video itself rather than being randomized. But I do appreciate if you do check out our Instagram and YouTube, and if you do that, make sure you follow, so that way it helps build up the aesthetic followers' viewpoint, so that way more people are interested in checking out the material. It just follows the law of social proof, is the more followers you have on social media, it is associated with being better quality of information. So the more followers we have, the more it helps people recognize the information is of good quality and worth checking out. So please follow us on social media if you don't mind. Thank you. Okay. That's everything. So as always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.